Don't pay retail for your diamond engagement ring or gift. Come to cleanorigin.com. Founded by a leading family in the diamond industry for more than a century, we're experts in lab-grown diamonds because that's all we do. Clean Origin, the only diamond jewelers who give you a 100-day, no-questions-asked return on your purchase. Head to cleanorigin.com or one of our retail stores and mention code RADIO10 for 10% off your purchase. That's cleanorigin.com, code RADIO10.
Welcome back to another Talking Lamar. On this episode, I'm giving you a little insight on what it was like growing up for the People's Movie Critic in Georgia, in the country, in a single wide trailer.
What are you talking about?
What are you talking about?
Sorry, I forgot what I was talking about.
What are you talking about?
I am talking to you.
That's just what I was talking about.
It's Talking Lamar.
You know, I was thinking about this. We had something that came up on the show, I don't know, a few days or weeks ago, and something we asked the question, you know, what was your earliest memories? And my earliest memories are of our trailer where we lived. And what really sticks out in my head is the scratchy furniture that we had. This was before Naugahyde. This was before, I mean, it was just that wool, scratchy. It was just not comfortable. But I remember that. And I'm going to tell you how it works on our house. When you stepped up to the front door, when you walked in, our living room consisted of a couch, a regular chair, and a rocking chair. And the living room was, when you walk in the door, you turn right to the front of the trailer. And that's right when you walked in the door. And that's where all that stuff was, the TV and everything. Now, if you went left at the dining, at the front door, the dining room table was right there. And slightly ahead of that, if you're facing, walking in the door, was the washing machine. No dryer back. I don't even know if they had dryers back then. I know we didn't have one. It was all clothesline. And then beside that was the stove, the sink, then the cabinets, and the refrigerator. And my absolute earliest memory, and it's very foggy, but it is of Mama bathing me in the sink. I just remember being in the sink. And I guess up until I got to a certain age, she gave me baths in the sink. And I don't think that was a big deal back then. I think a lot of people did that. But then when you walk down the hall, I can't really call it a hall, but the first bedroom was for me and my brother Troy. Then right past that was the bathroom. And then right past that was Mom and Daddy's room. And I keep thinking back. I'm almost positive that the camper that we have right now is longer than the trailer was that we lived in. But it seemed big to me. You know how everything seems when you're a kid.
Yeah.
It seemed big to me. So, you know, but when you walked out our door, our front yard, it was surrounded by a white picket fence. But the cool thing that I remember about the fence was this is, I don't know if you've ever seen anything like this. I'm sure they don't make it anymore. But that fence was like it came in a roll. It was wire fence with the pickets in it. But you know, when you put it up, you just rolled it out and did your corner post and whatever. And so it was very short, but we painted it about every 3 or 4 years and we'd paint it white. And, you know, and we had these two big tractor tires in the yard, and that's where the flower beds were. And the thing about the flower beds in the tires, they were there to accent the trailer, not really take away from it. You know what I'm saying? You didn't want them to be too bold because then
that's just gaudy.
yeah. That's North Georgia landscaping at its best, not too flashy. You know what I'm saying? You wanted to go in there. And then the driveway where we parked was just dirt. Now, Sherry, I'm pretty sure did when you lived out west, did y'all have just like dirt driveway and dirt yard?
The only thing we had that y'all didn't was indoor plumbing. And I know your grandparents, that's your grandparents that did not have indoor plumbing.
Yeah.
We had dirt and gravel. I mean, in one of the houses we lived in out west, it was heated by the fireplace. It didn't even have insulation. So I'm right there with you, my brother.
Right there. And so there was a big oak tree in the driveway, and that's where we had a basketball goal on it. Now, we lived in the yard of my grandmother and granddaddy. And I say that like we were living in their yard, but my daddy owned the entire place. They was actually living in his yard, if you want to get down to it. I'll get some more details about that. We're going to take a quick break.
We are so excited about Bob and Sherry Premium, well-marbled, juicy, and always fresh with loads of behind-the-scenes photos and videos, exclusive content, including our classic chat room calls and our best-of CDs. And best of all, it's just $4.99 a month. BobandSherry.com/premium.
Don't pay retail for your diamond engagement ring or gift. Come to CleanOrigin.com. Founded by a leading family in the diamond industry for more than a century, we're experts in lab-grown diamonds because that's all we do. Clean Origin, the only diamond jewelers who give you a 100-day, no-questions-asked return on your purchase. Head to CleanOrigin.com or one of our retail stores and mention code RADIO10 for 10% off your purchase. That's CleanOrigin.com, code RADIO10.
We're back. And I talked to my brother about this before Troy passed away, and we really could not explain it, that my dad owned, we had 110 acres, and he owned all of that. And the reason that we were in a trailer was he worked construction. And so from time to time, he would move to big construction things. He did like bridges and roads and stuff like that. But that house had been there for, and, you know, we just never got the history of that. And I wish I knew a little bit more about that. But this was a big, pretty good sized house. And it had had porches across the front and the side. And you could sit out there, you know, and whatever. And then on the back, they had a porch on the back, but it was cement. And that's where they kept the washer. And they had a wringer washer. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. My great, great grandmother had one. And as kids, we were forbidden. It was in the basement, like next to the Kenmore. Right. And we were forbidden to touch it. And when, cause we wanted to crank it, it had those, I can't even describe what it looked like. It looked like a big monster. And my grandmother would, every time we tried to get near it, my grandmother came up with a fresh horror story. Wow. There was this little girl I played with when I was your age. And she played with the wringer washing machine after her mother told her not to. And her arm was as flat as a piece of paper that she couldn't hold it.
My grandmother had a deformed finger. It was had been broken or whatever. And I mean, it was gnarly looking. And she was running some clothes through the wringer. And when we say wringer, it's like two rolling pin type things on top of each other. And a motor ran them. And when you would take your clothes, when you got them out of the thing, you would wring them out best you could. But if you really wanted to get the water out, you would run the clothes through that. And so you fed your clothes in, and it would squeeze out the water, and they come out the other side. And she caught one of her fingers in there. And, of course, they wouldn't know going to the doctor and whatever. They just sort of wrapped it up, and it healed itself, but it was all crooked and everything. And she'd always show me that finger. You see what you get? You see what? Don't play with the ringer. Don't play with the ringer. But, yeah, we had that on the back out there. And the barn was back behind grandmother's house. It was probably, I don't know, 100 yards back. And there's a barn and where we put the cows up when we're getting ready to kill a cow. We'd put the cow up in the stall and feed them nothing but grain. I mean, nothing but wheat and grain for like 3 months before we'd slaughter the cow. And then
it's going to be like that, isn't it now? Okay. Wow.
Hey, listen.
It's life on the farm. I need to be brave.
I don't know where you people thinking hamburgers come from. There's some dirty work. It was some dirty work to get to it. And then I've told y'all this before. If you go back as far as like the barn was and then go another, I don't know, 30 or 40 yards over in its own place back there was where they had the outhouse. And as simple as that, you had to get it as far away from the house as you could. And I always thought it was crazy because in our trailer, we had a regular bathroom. I mean, we had a shower. We didn't have a shower. We had a bathtub, but we had a regular thing. But when you go out to grandmother's house, say, go to the bathroom. If she was keeping me for the day and my mama was at work, I couldn't get back in the trailer. I was too young to have a key, so I couldn't get back in the trailer. So I would have to go use the outhouse. And like we talked about, it hadn't been too long ago. If I spent the night with her, she had these big, huge feather beds, and there was two of them in the bedroom. She slept in one side. My grandfather slept in the other side. And if you had to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night, that's where the slop jar comes in. And grandma had a slop jar under her bed, and granddaddy had his own slop jar under the other bed. And, you know,
question? Was it like a mason jar?
No, it was a big, no,
you would need something bigger.
Like I say, if you've never used a slop jar or you got money, you would have probably called it a chamber pot. I think if you go to the one of those antique shows, they're not selling slop jars. They're selling chamber pots.
Yeah, they are. And Lamar's right. Can I just commend your grandparents on one of their fine choices? Because, like, I love my husband, but I ain't sharing a slop jar with the man. He can have his slop jar, and I want my own slop jar.
Exactly.
Now, I know there are couples that do everything together, including sharing a slop jar.
And listen, don't be calling and writing about sharing slop jar. If you want to share your slop jar, that's your business, okay?
You
That's right. That's right.
Around here, we want our own slop jar for our own slop.
That's exactly right. that is exactly right. So it didn't take me long to figure out that I could hold it. You know what I'm saying? There was no getting up in the middle of the night to do that. I mean, it really wasn't. But we always had Sunday dinner out there, and we always talk about this. We're so worried about keeping everything in the refrigerator and whatever. But my grandmother would cook a spread. There'd be fried chicken, there'd be coleslaw, potato salad. You know, half of the dishes got mayonnaise in it and whatever. And we would eat lunch. And as soon as lunch was over, they would throw the tablecloth, another tablecloth, over the top of the food and leave it there for the rest of the day.
So it can become a science project.
So if you ate at 12 and you didn't come back till 5 or 6 to eat, the food sat there. Not one thing ever came off that table. Not one thing. It didn't matter what it was. And everybody talks about, if you take potato salad to a picnic, you got to keep it in ice, blah, 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 blah. No, I don't think you do. I really don't think you do.
I don't know whether the olden people were made of strong stuff, you know, and their bodies were immune to parasites, or if, as we look back on our very early childhoods with our grandparents, because my grandparents and great grandparents also thought food safety was like a punchline, right?
Inconvenient.
But at the same time, those are the folks that kept Phillips Milk of Magnesia and Alka-Seltzer in business. So you do have to wonder.
Yeah. I've told you this before. My brother-in-law, Looney, he'll tell you right quick, he cannot get food poisoning because he has always, he dates and stuff on, he don't care. He does not, it doesn't bother him a bit. And he said, if you will stay with that and let your body get used to it, I don't know. But I just know this.
Lamar, I'm kind of a nerd. I really am. And I'm here to tell you that in all of my reading, I've never come across exposure therapy as a means of combating E. coli.
Well, I get it. But I don't know how else to it. How do you explain the fact? And I'm not the only person. Everybody I've ever talked to that lived in that time, if they lived in the country or whatever, had tablecloth. That's it across the thing. And I mean, I eat fried chicken. Oh my gosh, I can't. I probably eat a herd of chickens in my lifetime that had been sitting on that table 6 hours.
Well, let me do you one better.
Not to count coleslaw and potato salad and all that kind of stuff.
Let me do you one better. When I was a little girl, before my parents split up, we would dye Easter. My mom was so good about like Easter eggs. Like she loved dyeing Easter eggs. We would dye maybe 3 dozen Easter eggs, and they would get hidden, and we would find them. And they would be stored in our Easter baskets next to the jelly beans and the chocolate bunnies. And so for the next week between Easter Sunday and the end of the following week, we would find those hard-boiled dyed Easter eggs in our lunchbox, and you'd peel them open and the white of the egg would also be blue or whatever from the dye.
Yeah.
They had been in the yard where the dog poops in the sun, and then they had been in our baskets in the living room. Yeah. And I tell you, I do not remember ever once getting sick off of that.
No.
But I would never do that now. I would never give a child an Easter egg that had been rolling around unrefrigerated for days.
Lamar, I hate to bring up this slop jar thing again, but I'm just wondering to myself, you've got the slop jar. Where are you going to take care of the business with the slop jar if you don't have the indoor plumbing?
You're just doing it right there.
You pull it out. Yeah, you pull it out. Pull it out under the bed and do it right there. If you got it, and if you got to do close op business, then you hold on to the bedpost. And yeah, I mean,
is it not a wonder to anyone that we kept on multiplying as humans with all this unsexy stuff that was going on?
That's how we kept on. Our ancestors lived closer to their animal natures than we do, I think.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Good. Okay. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to derail you too much.
And honestly, the old jokes about the outhouse, they were Sears catalogs in the outhouse. We had Sears catalogs in the outhouse. Now, my mom always told me, she'd tell me where they were. She kept a roll of toilet paper right there, and she always told me to take toilet paper with me. Because, you know, I didn't want to put the Sears robot catalog was always there.
This is why you're so bougie, because like from an early age, your mom treated you like she made you soft. All the other cousins are like, oh man, this is the craftsman tool section, and Lamar's over there going quilted northern. Thanks, y'all.
But now, getting back to the food deal on the chickens. My grandmother never bought a store bought chicken in her life. She had chickens out in the yard. And she'd go out there and throw some scratches out there, and the chickens would come up. She'd pick her one out, pick it up, and hang it by its. They had little wire loops on the clothesline, and she'd hang it on the wire loop. Take the butcher knife and come across and swing it. Chicken would hit the ground and run around for about 45 seconds.
It ran around with that the head. It really did do that.
They really.
Yeah.
Do
oh
that.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah.
So Lamar, before I posted this picture on my Facebook or my Instagram in my throwback photos. I can't remember which. This was before I was born. So my great great grandmother, there's a picture of her. She's in the backyard of her row house in Philadelphia. She's wearing pumps, pearls, and an apron and a dress, and she's holding a cat. And behind her, you can see like a small cage or coop that has some chickens in it. She would, and as children we were just horrified, right? She would tell us, and she would complain, they only bought Lemondola chickens, which is some sort of breed of chicken. There's even a special Lemondola chicken shop in Philly, right? Anywho, so she would tell us, she would go, you, and she had terrible, I mean, like she barely spoke English, so it was really broken, but she'd be like, you kids today, you live like kings and queens. When was the last time you had to kill a chicken with a broomstick? And I'm over here like, I'm six. It hasn't gotten that Darwinian for me quite yet. Like, she didn't wring its neck. She would, Max, she would take the chicken and snap its neck with a broomstick.
Uh-huh.
But Lamar, as Lamar says, like, if you're squeamish and screaming, where do you think your nuggets and your wings come from?
I just not sure that I want to be that hands on with the procedure. But here's the plus side. That was fresh, wasn't it?
Whoa! Gotcha. Yes, it was. Absolutely, it was. So you know, no, it was a good deal. It was a good deal. The other thing living back then, besides now, the plumbing situation. They had running water in the kitchen. They had one faucet in the kitchen, and then they had a faucet outside to fill up the washing machine. But anything else, and they had to get it out of the sink, you know, as far as that goes for baths and stuff like that. But she kept that in there. And eventually, years down the road, I don't know how old I was, but my Uncle D.C., he came up and got all the stuff together, and a couple of the other brothers. I don't know if Cooley come out, Uncle Cooley. I don't know. It's about three of the uncles. They built a bathroom with a toilet and a shower for them. I guess I was probably in elementary school by the time that was going on. But they finally did do that. Now, I got to tell you, my grandfather wasn't all that keen about it. And I had a cousin. They lived in a house that had zero water. And they lived in that house. I mean, they were born in that house. Well, they wound up buying a trailer. They bought a trailer and put it in the yard. But their daddy would not hook up the water for the first year and a half because he didn't want them to get, you know, too uppity.
Spoiled.
Yeah. He didn't want to spoil them. So they had a trailer that had all the stuff, but he didn't connect the water for about a year and a half. And they finally, you know, did that. But the other thing that was really weird back then, well, there's many things really weird, but the other thing was,
I'd say,
and we've talked about this on the show before, party lines. Everybody just thinks, well, you pick up your cell phone and you can call Japan or whatever. You can do anything with a cell phone. It was 12 other people on our line. It was one line that went up the road. And so that's 13 families on that one line. And so if I picked up the phone to call somebody, or my mama did or whatever, if somebody's on the phone, you just, oh, and you hang it back up. You wait about 10 minutes and try it again. And
do you know, or do you put something over the talkie part and listen in? Because that
No.
Party lines were a thing today, y'all, I'd have to quit my job because I'm so nosy. Yeah. That's all I would do.
Yeah.
So, it wasn't just two families sharing the phone. It was 13.
Families. All the way up the road. Yeah.
I hope they weren't paying too much for that. I mean,
I don't know what it was.
They had Mint Mobile, Max. They were fine.
Oh, okay.
but you could hear, you could pick up the receiver. I've read about this. You could pick up the receiver and listen in on other people's conversations if you were, you know.
Well, here's how you had to do it. And I watched my mama do it. Here's how you had to do it. If you picked up the phone and you heard somebody talking, then you would just hang the phone back up. But if who you heard talking was somebody that had something going on, you know, there was some sort of controversy or whatever. Yeah. And what you would do is you would take the handset. And it's another thing. People listening to this don't know what a handset is on the phone. But you'd take the handset. You'd still leave the little button under the handset. You'd stick your finger up under there and hold the button down. That way, when you pick the handset out of the cradle, it don't make that jingling noise bumping. Okay? Because when you pick it up, you can tell somebody's picked up.
Yeah.
But then you cover the mouthpiece and put the other up to your ear, and then you very easy take your finger off of the button, and it doesn't make a big noise. And, buddy, you could sit there and listen for as long as you wanted to. And then when you got ready to, then you would take your finger and push the button down, cut the connection of your ear handpiece off, and then put it back on there. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. There was no secrets on the party line. There ain't no secrets on the party line. No.
What, you probably, because you were a kid and not paying attention, but, like, what was the hot tea that your mom would hear on the party line? Boy, I wish we could get Doris back from, paradise
buddy.
To tell us.
Yeah, because she had a really good friend of hers was Dean up the road, and they would compare notes back and forth, and, you know, it was crazy. And back then, like in your county, your phone calls were free, you know, with your paid phone bill. But if you call the next county, it's long distance.
Shut up. You had to pay.
Yes. And so we lived on the Hart County, Elbert County line. And so I knew people in Elberton, especially when I got up to where I was driving and whatever. I dated people in Elberton and had friends in Elberton. But I couldn't call them from the house because it would cost money. And my mom was not paying for that. So I would have to either drive down to Greenway's store, or I could go to my neighbor that he had milk cows and stuff. He had a dairy. I would go to his house, and they would let me use their phone. And I would make my phone calls. And then anybody that lived in Elberton that was within a distance, they would come to our house. You know, we'd swap back and forth because nobody wanted to pay for a long-distance call.
So. I can't believe, like, you know, it's funny because, you know, once upon a time, not that long ago, businesses would make a big point of you can call toll free. And then cell phones came along and like everything's toll free unless you're calling internationally. Right. So I can remember like my very first job, you know, you had to use a special code if you were making a long distance call, and they scrutinized, I don't know which member of management, but they scrutinized the call logs every month to make sure that no one was sneaking a call to their dying mama. I mean, it was that hardcore, but I've never known of a long distance call to the next county. That's kind of crazy. Yes.
Yeah, because all the phone companies were independent. I mean, you know, Bell had everything, but like Elbert County Phone Company, they put up the phone lines and all of that stuff. And so then they hooked to Bell, but they had their own deal. And so every county took care of their own phone system. So you could not call another county. No.
Wow. And weren't you nervous when you got to those teen years, Playa, and you were wanting to call girls and you were on a party line? And you already knew from watching your mom that people did not respect that party line situation very much.
Well, no, trust me. Those were vanilla conversations because you knew. I mean, you know what I'm saying? You know, it would just be to touch base or whatever, because then you would, you know, to make plans. You know, I'm coming to your house and such or whatever, and then you would drive. I kept the roads hot, man. Once you gave me a car, man, I was in the road. I was in the road. That is freedom, and I was in the road.
How old were you when you had your first kiss?
I guess 16. Probably 16. Yeah.
I almost add it with another person in case, because this is the farm life, and I don't know, maybe you did a little bit of practicing on grandpa's donkeys. I don't know. I'm not going to judge.
There's a joke there, but I'm going to let it go. Once you could see, that was the other thing too, though. When I was a kid, once I got up to be like, I don't know, 8 or 9 years old, as long as I didn't go out in the road, I could go anywhere I wanted to go, in the yard, in the woods, and you know, whatever. I could not go to the road. Couldn't get nowhere close to the road. But other than that, you know, and when it was time for me to come home, Mama would come out there and start screaming and said, come on.
Much freedom. There are a lot of people that yearn for that and wish we could go back to it. And there are aspects of what you're describing that are definitely better than the world we live in now. You know, the idea that at 8 years old, as long as you did not disobey and go near the road, you could roam.
Climb trees, go whatever, didn't matter.
Yeah. Like, we still have trees and yards and woods and country and all of that, but parents have lost a lot of their sense of safety and comfort in the world. And I've heard the argument made a million times, a million ways. Everything has always been just as it is. You just didn't know about it. And I don't really believe that. The data doesn't back it up. I can tell you there's always been murder, mayhem, bigamy, adultery, addiction, always, always, always. You can listen to any episode of True Weird Stuff and get that proved for you. But we have more people now than we did before. And we have an uptick in certain categories of crimes, unlike when you were a child or when your parents were kids. But that idea that you could, like, my mom was the same way. We would be locked out of the house until she was ready for us to come back in.
You could tug
on that door, but mommy, I'm just like, go find something to do, right? If you did that today, I think you'd have a neighbor who reported you. I really do.
Yeah, DSS would be at your house. Well, I looked at my clock here. I think we've probably been reminiscing about this about as long as we need to today. I want to thank everybody for listening. It's been fun for us. I hope you can say the same. Don't miss the next episode. We're probably going to continue talking about slop jars and killing chickens and some other stuff that we who knows. But do not miss this next episode of Talking with Marco. I ain't a quitter. Till next time. Thank you so much for listening to Talkin' Lamar, the Oddcast, and the Bob and Sherry Podcast. We would really love it if you would subscribe, rate and review, and share it with a friend on Facebook, Instagram, wherever you go. And thank you again for listening.
Don't pay retail for your diamond engagement ring or gift. Come to cleanorigin.com. Founded by a leading family in the diamond industry for more than a century, we're experts in lab-grown diamonds because that's all we do. Clean Origin, the only diamond jewelers who give you a 100-day, no-questions-asked return on your purchase. Head to cleanorigin.com or one of our retail stores and mention code RADIO10 for 10% off your purchase. That's cleanorigin.com, code RADIO10.